numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the Izzy, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Good morning to you, Kelly, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing just fine. Just fine. FIBA World Cup action getting underway.
That pumps you up.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Jordan Clarkson playing for the Philippines, so I expect 60 shots a game. Should be awesome to watch.
It's exciting. I love the pre-NFL season stuff we bet on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last night, they brain dead. We'll talk about this game last night in a second, but last night I had an in-game plus 25 on the Falcons. First of all, it's a weird preseason thing, right? You're down 24 to nothing. Typically, in the regular season, that would be plus 23.5. But
right.
It was plus 25, and it was like a Plinko fest at the end.
Nobody scored, right?
Well, it wasn't quite that. So the Falcons should have just coasted in. Instead, they go for it, 4th-and-1 deep in their own territory. They get stuffed. Steelers miss a field goal. Falcons get it back. Oh, I win it again. Strip sack. Then the Steelers go for it on 4th-and-long for no reason. So anyway, it's stupid. And by the way, then an hour later, I had the Reds in an in-game, and they blow it to the Diamondbacks after taking a lead. So just the nuttiness of betting some of this stuff here. As the calm before the NFL storm, we'll talk about the Steelers momentarily on their side of the ball yesterday and what we can read into that. Great show. Dr. Bob is here. Kelly, our back-to-back physician shows Thursday and Friday. Dr. Eric Eager yesterday from Sumer Sports. Dr. Bob today. Anything you need health-wise, this is the show for you.
This is it. Yeah.
This is the show for you. But it's Dr. Bob's college football season win total segment today. He did release them on Wednesday to his folks over there at Dr. Bob Sports. So we'll talk about the ones that are still in play that he would still say play them. Because he gave out a whole bunch. And if you were there for that, if you happen to be down with the Dr. Bob folks, they move rapidly. Not talking about the number in terms of the games, the season win number, but the juice moves. You can't, let's put it this way, even as you're getting a text about it, you can't get there in time. That's how quick it is. That's how quick he moves the market. But he'll be here to discuss what's still available, his week 0 thoughts in college football as well. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke, Major League Baseball. Good Major League Baseball day today. Paul Carr with his thoughts on the Premier League. Paul Carr also, in his work for True Media Sports, he's down meeting with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe. Don't want to talk out of school or anything. But so he's doing big things behind the scenes as well. And then Drew Dinsick, who never joins us on a Friday, but yesterday Drew and I did our U.S. Open tennis pod, Beating the Book pod. And if you're a tennis hardo, as he likes to say, you got to listen to that. We had a great time. The draw was yesterday. I suppose let's start with a couple things. One, Fezzik wants to talk about college football week 0 real quick. Can I give you a Fezzik text on college football?
Yeah, sure.
Week 0, let's just go off the grid here.
Steve Fezzik joins the show via text message.
Via text, Steve Fezzik. he says, look, this is per Fezzik. He says, look to play unders in college football week 0 and week kind of 1-ish, but we'll define that in a moment. But he says 2021, the average total was 57, 36 went under, 11 went over. I believe that adds up to 47, by the way. I think he meant 47. 2022, the average total was 55.3, 26 unders, 15 overs. 2023, the average total is 54. He said, however, the clock runs after first. Now, as everybody knows, he believes the rule change will lower scoring by 2.8 points. Remember, we had a similar discussion with Dr. Bob last week. He says these totals are still too high after week 0 and week 0.5, meaning the Thursday and Friday of week 1, not the full Saturday slate, have been 22-5 to the under. And in summation, the last 2 years, the average total week 0 and 1 was 56. This year, the average is 54. He believes that's an insufficient adjustment to the rules change, and the 56 in general was way too high as a preponderance of those games last 2 years went under. So if your instinct is to bet overs, that ain't the right instinct, is what he's saying.
Okay.
Have not adjusted enough to the under, is his point. So look to have that instinct. That's your Fezzik text of the day.
They really need to put more of, like, they need to have one premier game on these week zeros every year.
Yeah, it's not exactly the sexiest week zero slate.
It's not, but it's never like that every year. That's kind of my point. Like, they need at least one. Like, I mean, Notre Dame Navy actually feels kind of big for a week zero.
It feels like the marquee matchup of the day. Yeah. But we're, the point being, we'll just be so happy to see live, real standings-related football that we'll be okay with it.
Yes.
Notre Dame, 20.5-point favorite in that game, by the way. So the U.S. Open Tennis Pod, Drew's going to join us here momentarily. But I want everybody to listen to the podcast because we go super deep dive into a whole bunch of stuff. But I'll give you my bets anyway. We'll let you listen to the podcast for Drew's. But mine that I ended up with, first of all, the headline from the draw yesterday. On the men's side, boy, did they grease this for Novak Djokovic. This ended up being just such a great draw for Novak. Remember, Novak Djokovic is right now with 23 Grand Slam singles titles. That's the most ever in men's tennis. More than Rafa Nadal, more than Roger Federer. 24 is the mark set by Margaret Court on the ladies' side. So in essence, Djokovic is chasing that number with this tournament. Going for his 24th. And his quarter and his half of the draw are about as fortunate as you can get, because all the other great men's tennis players, and specifically men's hardcourt tennis players, are on the top half. So Alcaraz gets the worst of it. In his Q1, he's got Zverev and Sinner, not to mention Dimitrov and others. And in Q2, it's Medvedev, and it's Dimonor, and it's Urkacz, and it's Berrettini, it's Monfils, it's Rublev, it's Khachanov. So it's just loaded. Anyway, the point is, Novak is rightfully a +125 short shot to win the U.S. Open. Carlitos is +190. Everybody else double digits. So on the men's side, the bets that I believe have value do take place in Q2 and Q3. In Q2, which is the most stacked, I do believe the value is on Alex de Minaur at 12-1, a very quick Australian player who can get to anything. And I believe the value in Q3, which is in essence Casper Ruud's quarter, if you will, I believe the value is on American Tommy Paul to win that at 7-1. Full disclosure, I have not made those yet because those typically come out outside of Nevada before they do here. We're just thrilled to have them.
No!
We are just thrilled to have them. That's a new development here in Nevada, started with Wimbledon, that we actually have them. So I can't wait to bet those. On the ladies' side, and this is where Drew and I both agreed right off the bat, this was greased for Novak. On the ladies' side, I started out by saying, boy, this isn't, like, if you look at Iga's quarter, which is Q1, as a whole, boy, that's a tough quarter. Coco's in there. Elena Ostapenko, Veronika Kudermatova is out of form. Petra Kvitova, Danielle freaking Collins, and Mira Andreeva. So it's tough when you look at it like that. But if you break down quarter number one, and Drew was right about this, the bottom half of that quarter is where all those others reside. And Iga's got the first half of that quarter to herself, if that makes sense. So it's actually a good draw for Iga when you look at it that way. I bet her to win the tournament. Number one player in the world. Number one hardcourt numbers in the world. I bet her at +230. You can get a better number than that. And my other big bet on the ladies' side was Marketa Vondrousova to win Q3 at +450. That was a bet Drew and I did not talk before the podcast. We both landed on that one. Because by my hardcourt numbers, it's Iga 1, it's Coco 2, and it's Vondrousova 3. And Vondrousova is in Pegula's quarter. But I think that's where the real value is. Vondrousova, Drew has Vondrousova in the finals against Iga, by the way. So the real bad draw was Coco's. Coco got the worst of it. She has to run through a gauntlet to even get to Iga in quarter number one. And I did put in a Novak Iga parlay, if you will, at +525. So those are all my U.S. Open bets. We go way more into it. Drew has a whole bunch more bets. His biggest bet not mentioned thus far at the Beating the Book U.S. Open preview. We had a great time doing that yesterday. The last slam of the year, which, as you know, is sort of the gateway to football season. The final is on day one, week one, Sunday of the National Football League season. About the Steelers, real quick, let's get this in. You know, in that win, in that 24-0 win against the Falcons yesterday, they start out with a 92-yard touchdown drive to start the game. Kenny Pickett hits Deontay Jones for 33. Keep that drive going. Later in that drive, George Pickens for 35. Second drive, good two. Steelers defense was forcing three and outs, good punt return. Najee Harris, 16-yard gain on a screen pass. Jalen Warren, 8-yard run. The Steelers basically led 14-0 less than 7 minutes into the game. Defense had another three and out, and then the starters were gone. So the Steelers could not have looked better. Remember, the first two preseason games, Pickett was 9 of 11 for 112, limited action, and then last night completed all four passes for 86. And I get it, the Falcons didn't play any of their starters, but if you're the Steelers, you could not have asked for a better August.
You couldn't have all. A perfect passer rating for Kenny Pickett the preseason? Every drive they had ended in a touchdown?
Perfect. So if you project to the AFC North numbers, it's the real question. Remember Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager was on with us yesterday. He said, what's the number on all four teams getting to the postseason? Well, we found one prop where all four teams in any division was 11-1. Not enough. Thank you, Trip Tepper, for finding that.
I think that's the one up at DraftKings. Shop around. Yeah. I haven't seen one that has specifically divisions.
I have not seen
that. But that's the way you'd want to bet it, yeah.
Does any of this make you, I guess the question becomes, does any of this in a preseason make you feel differently about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, like they're a tough team. You know, like we went over bets yesterday. I have an under on their win total. It's set at 9, though, and it's more about the respect that I have for every other team in this division. I don't think the Steelers are going to be bad. I don't think an 8-9 season or a 7-10 season is a bad season in that division. It's just at some point, not every one of these teams can win double digit games.
Bengals and Ravens at 10.5. Browns at 9.5 season wins. Steelers at 8.5. Closest from top to bottom any division in all of football.
Steelers win the NFC, they'd be a great team.
If they were in the NFC, they'd be a great team. Right now, they might be the best last place team in all of football. Maybe they're hoping for more. I know they're hoping for more. They might get more. Drew Dinsick on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I have the audacity, the chutzpah, to have two tennis plays today in Cleveland on the ladies' side.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Did not get there with Max. Max Purcell has been great to us this week, not yesterday. He did not. He lost a tiebreaker after being up a mini break, and then it was all downhill from there.
Kevin's from Cleveland. I don't know if you know that.
Kevy Kev, who I saw for the first time today without his baseball cap on. And I was like, who are you?
Everybody
I'm sorry.
Out.
Nice to meet you. What's your name? Never met before. Oh, Kev. How you doing, man? It's only been here for like 25 years on the show. So the two plays. I like both the dogs on the ladies' side. Semis in Cleveland. The run-up to the U.S. Open, which we're sort of over the what's their motivation part of this week, I guess, because I guess all four of these are young ladies are trying to win this tournament in Cleveland. It's a 250, but I like Julin as one of the two plays. She is, and I want to get the number that I got it right because you should shop obviously to see what it is right now. I don't think it's that far off to what the number is. I like Julin at +144. That was the number I got her at last night against Ekaterina Alexandrova, and I'm on Tatiana Maria. She's given us a couple wins this week already. Tatiana Maria +122 against Sara Sorribes Tormo. Sara Sorribes Tormo.
I'm seeing her +105 currently.
Oh,
so that's
I don't like that as much.
+135 though on
still
Julin.
Yeah, Julin is still you could play her for sure. Tatiana Maria, that's the edge of what you should play her at. Probably a couple pennies too few, but I'm sure a lot of people still play it.
Hey, plenty of time to go before that match.
Plenty of time starts. To go could bounce back for sure.
6:30 Eastern.
Drew Dinsick joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Talked to him yesterday to do the Beating the Book podcast on the U.S. Open. He joins us once again. What is it? I don't know. Less than 24 hours later. Let's call it 16 hours later. This time from indoors. Yesterday he was in the middle of Central California, outdoors, chilling, doing a tennis podcast.
I missed a Drew in Nature shot?
Oh, it was great. Man. It was fantastic. Whale underscore Capper. Of course, he's the co-host of the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor and NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning. It's great to be home. It's been rare the month of August, but in the bunker, handicapping round one of the U.S. Open, where we have you know, a lot of good matches. Actually, this is going to be a great tournament. Really fired up. If you haven't checked out the Megapod we did on the U.S. Open, that was a really, really fun conversation. And stick around to the end, because I think we kind of went pretty pretty deep dive, no pun intended, on you know, the potential final and the matchup between Alcaraz and Djokovic, which has been sort of the defining rivalry of the 2023 tennis calendar. Yeah, I mean, if you're handicapping the men's side of the tournament, you know, we gave you a lot of insightful and you know, and thoughtful points to chew on.
Excellent promo for the podcast, Beating the Book feed. Subscribe, as they say. I never say that. I never tell people to go subscribe. I think you're supposed to say that.
Yeah, five stars, thumbs up, subscribe,
yeah,
do it all.
Like, great. Yeah, they're like, I never say that.
Leave a comment.
I have no idea how to market it.
Leave a comment,
nice
only
job,
if you
Drew.
Like it.
we'll point people to there. About the round one matches, is there anything you'd like to share, sir, before we get to football?
Let me take a look at the ones on the men's side that really popped for me, because I'm done there. I played two dogs. I like Jiri over Nakashima at plus 150.
Wow, and, I haven't even looked. That's crazy. Plus 150.
I have that as a coin flip. Jiri playing really well this year. And then I have Bonzi over Halley's at plus 140. Halley's, I think, is dealing with some injury stuff that's not very well publicized, at least just eye test, seeing his matches.
I'll do you a favor. I'll stay away from that one, because Bonzi's like my Irvin Santana, who I used to say in baseball. If I would back Irvin Santana, he would, you know, he would be the worst pitcher ever. And if I would fade him, he would be Cy Young. That's my Benjamin Bonzi. So I can't do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the one that really stands out, the current money line on Ljubic versus Yiving Wu does not make sense to me. I think this should be closer to about minus 200 for the Chinese up and comer. And so I laid the price for him on the money line, and I laid the minus 1.5 sets. That was not a lay. I laid minus 1.5 sets, but I got a really nice price on that at plus 140. So I think that's three. That looks like 3-1, 3-0 for Wu for me.
Okay, so Wu is the second play. What was the first one again? Because I misinterpreted who you were saying there.
Oh, Laszlo Jiří is
no
plus one.
Oh, Laszlo Jiří. Okay,
Jiří. Yeah.
You know who I was thinking you were talking about? I thought you were talking about Nicholas Jarry, and I was like, how could he possibly be plus 150? Right. Okay. So you're Jiří against Nakashima.
Jiří is a meaningful favorite over Van Ash.
Yeah.
But I think that's a pretty realistic price. There's going to be some, you know, I mean, I think like the general sentiment though, like there's going to be some chaos. A lot of these prices look like they're informed by, you know, not necessarily what we've seen recently, but more like, you know, kind of form over the last year on hard court. Mm-hmm. And, it's been a little chaotic, for some of these players. A lot of guys, particularly dealing with, you know, runs of form that are hot or cold, combined with injuries and, you know, end of a grind of a season. So, I'm expecting some chaos in the first couple rounds here.
Can't wait. And you were saying on the podcast, you will be there this week. Good for you, man. Very exciting.
Boots on the ground early in the week for me.
Kelly, you ever been to the U.S. Open?
No, on my bucket list.
It should
sure.
be a bucket yeah. list item for everybody. Like a night match at the U.S. Open is a sports fan, forget betting, a sports fan bucket list item, because mm-hmm. it's so raucous. It's such a great atmosphere.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
In Flushing Meadows. Okay, sure. Let's go to football here. Do you bet the preseason? And if so, do you have any week three bets?
I do bet the preseason, but I usually am ejecto-cito for week three.
Ejecto-cito.
This okay. is... I mean, like last night's Eagles game is a great example. I don't know that it was broadly publicized that it was going to be first team offense for the Colts against the third and fourth team defense for the Eagles for the first half of that game. But you do have some pretty wild informational asymmetry for week three. And so I tend to just keep my powder dry for week one of the NFL. But you know, those markets are on the move, even though limits aren't even really up offshore. So it's kind of a weird dicey time where you're, you know, thinking hard about how to preserve value in some of these week one markets.
Yeah. Anthony Richardson, by the way, Drew is referring to 27-13 win for the Colts over the Eagles yesterday. And Anthony Richardson, ends up 6 of 17 for 78 yards passing, sacked once, 5 carries for 38 yards, fumble, but he did not lose that fumble on the ground. The Colts QB1 for opening day. Is there anything that you glean from preseason? We were talking about Kenny Pickett moments ago, like the Steelers as a three-game arc. It's August, but it could not have gone any better for the Steelers, for instance. Do you glean anything? Do you read into anything that you see in these three games?
Yeah, I mean, I really wish I was ahead of market here on the Steelers, you know? Wait,
you are.
That was the July flag planting.
That's right.
And honestly, like, I mean, I'm not taking any kind of victory lap whatsoever. Like, this is preseason. I think you can take away that some of the optimism that, you know, that Steelers, you know, backers, fans had of the last half of last season, where Kenny Pickett looked like the game started to slow down for him. But maybe even more importantly, Matt Canada looked like he started to figure out how to call an NFL offense. That at least seems to have carried over in a fashion that he could have a year two breakout as opposed to a year two slump here. The flip side of the coin is, like, last year with Zach Wilson in the preseason, you would have, you know, he's coming into year two as a starter. It's really still a huge question mark if he's going to make it. And I think the fact that he got injured and you didn't really see him in the preseason and you didn't get that sense that things were building, it was a pretty clear negative sign. And I think with Pickett and the Steelers, it's the opposite. I do think that there are positive takeaways. And I do think that people are kind of getting a look at some of the depth of that Steelers team, and kind of correctly assessing, wow, these guys are good at evaluating talent, drafting talent in the right places, and then developing that talent into meaningful NFL players. This is now year a million of the Steelers doing this. So I don't know why people are in any way surprised about this now, but a deep team like this that could sustain injuries and just in general has some serious upside if the quarterback takes a step forward is a fun team to take a swing on. And I think the price to win the division right now at +450, as you're seeing on the screen, I think that's a little short, but not like crazy short. In general, I think the AFC North is pretty flat. And I think it'll come down to Steelers or Bengals, but really if +450 is fair, then Mike Tomlin, coach of the year, should be closer to that.
I was going
to
say,
well,
that's how I was going to wrap it up, by saying we landed on Mike Tomlin, coach of the year, as the best by proxy vote. If you are bullish on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Drew will join us for another segment. Talk about where he's the most different from the general consensus, the market itself, all kinds of NFL opinions. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the Visa experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month. It'll help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a Visa Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199 United States dollars. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Drew Dinsick hanging with us from the Deep Dive and NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. Drew, first of all, are you in Circa Millions or Survivor this year, or any contests?
Coming through NFL Week 1 to square last year and to sign up for this year. So right at the wire, I'll be in Millions. I'm going to skip Survivor this year.
You're going to skip Survivor. What do you mean square last year? Did you win something? Did you win money?
Yeah, I get that. I was a booby prize winner for quarter four.
Oh, I don't think I know that.
I didn't know that.
It was a crazy learning experience. And I mean, I don't want to give away like all the goods here, but like going for the booby prize was like eye opening. I'm going to have a dedicated entry that's specifically trying to scoop those quarter and full season booby prizes. Cause guess what? Sorry to be spilling this. If anyone's mad at me, apologies. If you don't get your picks in 1 week, you are not eligible, which means that you're literally competing against 1/50th of the field. And so it's just a different, entirely different concept. Same with like the low hanging fruit picks, you know, the ones that 70% of the pool has because, the number came out and now we know the quarterback's not playing. Like those are autos for the booby. But in the main pool, you have to be a little bit more strategic about, am I taking this? Because like those are not 100% going to hit. And if 70, 80% of the pool has them, you sometimes you need to look for high leverage opportunities to go against those. So,
pro tip of the hour, Kelly.
It's interesting.
Pro tips of the hour right there. How to get yourself a booby, quarter or full. Good for you, Drew. How much did you win, by the way?
I ended up splitting fourth quarter, and it was like 12-5, I think. Right. But obviously, cool. That pays for contests. So yes, I'd be happy to have it.
Yeah, it do. All right, let me ask you, because it is football, the calm before the storm, you and I talked about this a little off-air yesterday while we were doing the tennis podcast, but just this is a real pro tip. The plus EV move with the spouse of the girlfriend is what?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who are super hardcore college football players, and this is not for you. if you are like me and you care about the NFL and you could not, you can't really get your pulse going with college football week one. Then what you do is, you do a little recon in June, July, figure out where the wind is blowing in terms of the wife's preferences for, a nice long weekend at the end of summer. So you want mountains? You want to go to Hawaii? You go wine country? Yeah. You just kind of get a sense of where the wind is blowing. And you set up a solid getaway for Labor Day weekend, 4 or 5 day weekend, whatever you can squeeze. And then that gets you the brownie points you need to really kind of lean into the start of the NFL season. It's going to be a lot of Sundays where I'm just not available, it turns out, in the month of September and October. Yeah. So sorry about that.
Drew's like, spa, New Mexico? Sure. All right, we talked about betting the Steelers by proxy for NFL Coach of the Year with Mike Tomlin. What other awards? Well, what awards have you bet this year in total?
Yes, so that one's definitely my favorite. I got in at that at 30-1 to start with, and it's been bet down into the teens, I think, which is still a value, again, because like I feel like it's highly correlated with Steelers' North price, which is much, much shorter. Next favorite, or at least another insane long shot that we talked about a long time ago. I have long shot prices on the Jags to win at AFC and Super Bowl. That's pretty straightforward in that I think the market is a little light on in their chances to get the one seed. AFC is super crowded, and all of the leverage in AFC championship this year is getting the one seed, in my opinion. And so any kind of long shot that you think has a realistic shot to steal that seed and get a bye and home field in a very crowded AFC, I think, is worth a grab. And so, Jaguars were a little bit low there, so I'm on some Jags. The awards markets, I've not played any MVP. I think ultimately it's tough to beat Pat Mahomes in that market, but I see the MVP as a six-man race. I realistically do not think that there is more than a 2% chance that anyone besides Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Hurts, Herbert, or Lawrence can win the MVP this year. I'm sorry, or Fields. Did I say Fields? Yeah, Fields is number six. Fields is number six for me. Lamar, I'm out on Lamar. I'm out on the Ravens from a team winning standpoint. I'm out on Tua from a injury potential standpoint. I'm out on Dak from a actual output standpoint, and then I think everybody else just too much good needs to go right to beat some of these true blue guys at the top. Defensive player of the year, I feel very differently. I think that is a super narrow market at the very top. Maybe there are four choices that can realistically win that one, and I'm the most heavily staked on Parsons. I think Parsons is clearly the best defensive player in the NFL. And I think overall that defensive roster for the Cowboys is unbelievably deep and talented. And to combine that with Dan Quinn and, a schedule where they go up against a number of kind of minus offensive lines, I think Parsons is going to be, the clear choice in the defensive player of the year market.
I had Parsons last year plus 650. It was coasting home. Coasting.
It was good. And then it was a good bet for a while.
And then I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Bosa stealing that one was kind of insane. I took in the awards markets, rather than playing MVP, I swung on Jalen Hurts for Offensive Player of the Year. I think you look at his statistical profile last year, and it's pretty obvious that, he was on pace to set like all-time, production at the quarterback position type of numbers. And that was considering the fact that they had like double digit leads in the second quarter of a lot of games. And they effectively shut him down in the second half because they just didn't need him to keep throwing. And then on top of that, he misses two games at the end of the season, and he still has this incredible overall, you know, production. And I think now defense takes a step back. Schedule's a little tougher. Eagles have the best offense on paper outside of the Bengals by my numbers. And so I think, you know, I think you're talking about 30 points every week for this Eagles team. And I think his overall statistical profile, ground and air, is going to support his case for offensive player of the year. I played that at 30-1. I like some of the other exotics, New York Jets. I've been struggling for a way to find an angle to fade this team. And I finally settled on least points scored. I got this at 32-1. And this is basically just a bet that they have the worst offensive coordinator in football. I know that a lot of people will push back and say, well, Aaron Rodgers is really the offensive coordinator. Okay, well, good luck to him calling plays for the first time, I guess, because he's going to have relatively little support with Hackett on the headset. And, you know, combine that with some questions about some of the skill position players that they've got out there and lots of questions about the offensive line. And I think, you know, combine that with a really, really difficult defensive schedule, particularly to start the season. And I kind of like the opportunity to have a low scoring output for this New York Jets team, even though I don't at all, you know, that this is a top two defense in the NFL by my numbers. And so, you know, they're still going to be in all these games, but these are more like 20-17 type of games than I think, you know, Jets consistently getting into the 20s. And, you know, Hackett he brings minus EV in ways that is difficult to quantify because there's plays getting in late, guys, you know, out of position, you know, just in general, procedural penalties that tend to move you backwards. All of that to me just spells trouble for a Jets team that's going to try to figure it out on the fly against a really challenging schedule. So, Jets fewest points scored is sort of the other wild, weird outlier position I've taken.
Yeah.
And actually, I apologize. Best bet I got on that was plus 56-41.
Yeah, so, I was going to say 60-1 is what we're seeing. Yeah, 60-1 on that. Yeah, that would be your most controversial take, I think, of all of them. The Jets 60-1 for fewest points. By the way, Kelly, look into it. If they score the least points, does he still catch? If they score the fewest points, does he still cash least points? We have to check on that. One lowest follow score. Up to the Justin.
There we go. It's actually called lowest score team.
Yeah. Lowest score team. There you go. No one likes an English teacher, by the way. I should point that out to everybody. The Justin Fields MVP thing. What's the threshold for the Bears? Playoffs or division? Like, what must they do?
12 wins.
12 wins.
Yeah, so basically 0%.
So do you think,
I feel like that's the price in the market that makes the least amount of sense to me. You think he's going to take a step forward this year? You love the weapons he's got. You think the protection's going to be better? Okay. Hey, they're not winning 12 games. They're not getting the top two seed in the NFC. I don't think.
So just to clarify, you didn't make that bet, but you're saying there's six or seven paths to MVP. He has a path, but you don't think it's happening.
Oh, I'm out on Fields entirely.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to clarify that.
No, I like Jalen Hurts for offensive player of the year. That's the only quarterback stake I have.
All right, because I thought you said didn't you say Fields it as one of your MVP candidates at 20-1? I thought you said.
Oh, my bad. Okay. I misspoke then. He's not in the six.
Okay.
The six guys is not include Fields.
Just wanted to make that clear because you gave six and then you threw in Fields and we're like, wait a minute, who gets the draft? All right, so we're clear on that.
I wanted to make sure I had Hurts in the mix because Hurts is in the mix.
That was great, Drew. Appreciate all those bets. Good luck, man, and good luck taking the wife wherever you need to take her. Thank you, Drew.
You bet, guys. Best of luck.
Drew Dinsick. Paul Carr on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You can place a no-run first-inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first-inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game, and if only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back and bonus bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks and an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account or sign up with BetMGM today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. New and existing customer offer, opt-in required. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in D.C., Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Spencer Strider on the hill tonight, Kelly. Spencer Strider. For those of us who have NL Cy Young bets on Spencer Strider, the Braves, by the way, are going to be, let's see what their number is tonight.
He's faded back in that market, though, right?
Well, so this is the point I'm trying to make. So Spencer Strider, by the way, is at San Francisco tonight, where the Giants are a half game out of a wild card now. Giants are still going to get there, y'all. Don't worry. But Strider tonight, I have my my Giants love conflicted with my Spencer Strider bet, so I will be in rooting for my bet tonight.
Yeah, just one game.
Just one game.
Matters way more for Strider than the Giants.
So Strider has a he had a terrible outing, and then he's had two great ones since.
Okay.
And that was kind of what we said after the bad outing. We need two really good outings right here. So he knocked his ERA down in those two outings from 3.94 to 3.57. He's 14-4 on the season. His strikeout rate is just absolutely through the roof. And in basically every single metric you can find, he eclipses Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen, who was the short shot to win the NL Cy Young. The Zach Gallen groupthink is driving me crazy. I believe this is one of the, this is the difference with award markets and everything else. We don't know if the betting market on this is anywhere close to accurate. We really don't, because we don't know what the voters are thinking. And I just don't understand how Zach Gallen is still the short shot to win this. Spencer Strider and his 38.2% K rate takes the hill against the Giants. I do believe that if he knocks his ERA down to sub 3.4, because right now, what, Gallen's ERA is roughly 4.40 better, right? Roughly that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a shade more than that. I think it's 0.46 better. So he has an ERA. Zach Gallen has an ERA over Strider, and I guess he has WAR by some WAR measurements. But that's it. Everything else is Strider. What are we doing?
I think it's going to be interesting, too, to see, like, when you're talking about the voters. Like, do these ridiculous Zach Gallen home-road splits come into play?
It's ridiculous. So can
this is like
you...
the most absurd thing. I just pulled them up. They're absurd numbers.
Can you vote a guy Cy Young when he leaves the confines of Arizona and he just is so, you know, pedestrian on the road?
14 start. Here's your basic stats. 14 starts on the road, 3-4 win-loss record, 4.46 ERA.
That's your Cy Young guy? Come on, stop it. Spencer Strider ought to be the Cy Young. He's plus 350 right now. Zach Gallen minus 105. Blake Snell ensconced between them at plus 320 per DraftKings. Anyway, that's my Spencer Strider PSA moment of the day. Paul Carr joins us from Topeka, Kansas, ladies and gentlemen. Although he's not in Topeka today because Paul's doing things. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast and, of course, the main man over there at True Media Networks when it comes to content. He joins us now to talk Premier League and beyond. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good, Gil. I got a tennis article to recommend for you.
Oh, please. I like it. What do you got?
GQ article came out yesterday about Andy Roddick. It kind of traces his career, talks about what he regrets and doesn't. I thought it was really good. It was one of those kind of an old school article where the writer goes and spends a day with him and gets him to open up about a lot of stuff. So, yeah, it was fun read.
Andy Roddick, who won one slam, was supposed to be the future mm-hmm. of American tennis, I guess, post-Agassi and Sampras, but... you know, had the misfortune of being around at the same time. Yep. Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic came on the scene as well.
He talks about that, how, you know, it motivated him, you know, how he, in some ways he doesn't regret it. His biggest regret was just not winning Wimbledon, not like the volume of slams he didn't win, but just never winning that one as close as he got, especially in that 2009 final or whatever final it was against Federer that went to 5 sets, and et cetera.
Yeah, it's amazing. Isner's retiring. Milos Raonic is retiring. We were talking about this on the podcast yesterday, how like some of these guys, it's like Tommy Hearns being born at the same time as Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler. That's your only, that's the only thing you did wrong. Otherwise, right, so like all these guys' careers, they never won anything huge because those guys existed. Gods of the sport.
I feel that way about Dan Marino in some ways. Like he happened to play when the Bills were at their peak. That run, or at least might have made another Super Bowl or two. Not saying they would have won them, but there would have been a great chance of winning the division, getting to a Super Bowl or two. But sometimes the timing is just bad.
Speaking of the Dolphins, you are down there in, where are you, in Jacksonville right now?
Yeah, in Jacksonville. Going to see the Dolphins play the Jags tomorrow night.
What are you doing down there? In what capacity are you there, sir?
Yeah, so we're meeting with the Jaguars. True Media works with all the NFL teams, and... at this point, you know, we're only a couple weeks out. It's a lot about just kind of finalizing their process that they'll have during the season. Of because what we do as a company is we make it easy to access all their numbers, their analytics, so someone doesn't have to watch, you know, 12 hours of film and chart every single play. We can automate a lot of that, and then you can go watch the film and do the fun stuff of actually coaching and such. So just working with them to get some things sewn up before the season.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
Jaguars 6.5-point favorites in that preseason game, by the way. All right. Premier League, I'm checking out the standings, and I get it. We're two games in. But I'm looking at your preseason thoughts. We should just end the season right here, right? Because you win everything.
Yeah, we're good. We got Brighton top four. They're in first place. I got Brentford in the top half. I think they're in fourth, and Wolves are getting relegated. So let's just call it.
Call it. It's done. Forget the rest of the 36 games.
Nothing's going to change in the last 36 games.
I'm hearing word that they're not doing that. They're not doing that. They're going to still play. All right. In that case, what do you have this weekend?
All right. So I think you asked me last week if we learned anything the first week or two. And I didn't come up this off the top of my head, but one thing I think we may have learned is that Bournemouth is not terrible, which is a step forward from last year when they probably should have been relegated, but somehow survived. They changed managers, which was a little bit weird given that they did survive. But they've looked pretty good in the first couple games. They lost to Liverpool, but really hung with them for the first 30 plus minutes or so. So they host Tottenham on Saturday. I like a draw in this game. We're getting a few things, you know, that kind of check my draw boxes. One, the price is plus 290. I always want, not always, but usually want it to be closer to plus 300 than not. So that's good. Tottenham is a little bit better. They're on the road. They've been okay the first couple weeks under their new manager, but not totally clicking, even though they did beat Man United 2-0. I was a little bit fortunate they got an own goal. Man United couldn't finish anything, et cetera. So I think, you know, Bournemouth again, decent team. Not saying they're going to like finish in the top half necessarily, but decent team. Tottenham finding themselves. Tottenham's on the road. So I think I like the spot here. Plus 290 for a Bournemouth-Tottenham draw.
You enjoy the experience of rooting for a draw?
It's the worst. I hate it. I mean, it's just, honestly, I don't play a lot of draws in part because I don't want to root for them, because you obviously cannot win it until the last whistle has finally blown. Like it's never comfortable. It can't be by definition.
Yeah, it's a strange experience to root for a draw, but the bang for your buck is enough that you'll do it from time to time. Yeah. Plus 290 yeah. qualifies as one of those instances right here for Bournemouth and Tottenham. Plus 290 draw on Saturday. What are the other two?
All right. Talked about Brentford preseason, going with Brentford again. I like them to win plus 110 against Crystal Palace. This is the famous take the better team logic of sorts.
I love it.
Brentford just a little bit better. Palace is okay. They're tough defensively under Roy Hodgson, old kind of your classic well-traveled manager who's come here and kind of solidified the defense. Palace lost 1-0 to Arsenal on a penalty. They beat Sheffield 1-0, a game they probably should have won by more. But Brentford, again, I just think they're a top-half type of team. They dominated Fulham. They did get a red card that helped them out, but they dominated Fulham. They drew Tottenham 2-2. So I think this will be probably a low-scoring game. And I like Brentford, really. It's the you get plus money on the better team at home. That's kind of catnip for me, so I'll do that at plus 110 here.
The old Paul Carr play the better team strategy. I like
very
it.
Bold.
Tried and true. And finally, you have a total. Of course you do. What do you got?
We have a total. We're going to go over 3.5 in Fulham Arsenal tomorrow, plus 125. Fulham's defense not good. And one of their better defenders, Tim Ream, an American, is out after a questionable red card last week. Probably wasn't a red card, but you know, that's how it falls. Both Fulham's games this year have had over 4 expected goals. Arsenal has been more or less what we thought Arsenal would be, you know, a title contender. They've grinded out a couple of wins so far. A lot of offensive talent. They've got some injuries in defense as well. So I think we're going to see goals. They won't be from our favorite Serbian henchman, Aleksandar Mitrovic of Fulham. He left to go play in Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, but they got a couple wingers that they brought in. So still should be some offense in this Fulham side. But one way or another, I think we get goals here. So plus 125 on over 3.5.
All right. All of these tomorrow, right, Paul? All of them tomorrow?
All Saturday.
All right. Bournemouth-Tottenham draw plus 290. Always shop around for these prices. Brentford to win it outright over Crystal Palace. Plus 110 is Paul's number. They're just the better team, he said. And then Fulham-Arsenal over 3.5 goals. Going for the gusto here at plus 125. Have fun at the Jaguars game. Also have fun at the Jaguars game while you're at it. Both of them.
Jaguars. Can I wear my Dolphins jersey at a Jaguars game? Is that?
I think you'll, yeah, you can. I think you'll be all right. It's not exactly all right. A violent fan base, I don't think.
If I don't show up next week, you'll know what happened.
Okay. We'll know exactly what happened. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too. Jaguars or Jaguars, Kelly? What do you
Jaguars.
Like? Yeah, I don't understand the Jaguars thing. Dr. Bob next. College football season win total.